Blog Talk Radio.
I have no idea what happened to our music. Yeah, well, it just figured, you know. It just figures. Oh, there we go.
You're having too much fun over there.
Everyone, and we are off to a rip-roaring start. This is Marty Oakley of the PPJ Gazette Online, and this is TS Radio. Our show tonight, Abolishing Probate, is got to be a firecracker. We've got attorney Lisa Belanger with us out of Boston, and also joining me is Luann Fleming and Robin Austin from Just Us. This is... Okay, everybody just...
Let's call Face Us.
Yeah, Face Us. Somebody help me, please. I am just...
I'm right behind them all.
This is just not right. I'm afraid to talk. I seriously am. Anyway...
That's never been a problem for me, Marty.
Yeah, I know. Usually it isn't for me either. It's getting me to shut up is the deal. But anyway, I'm scared to talk. But anyway, the show tonight, of course, is about abolishing probate, and we're going to be looking at another angle on it. And tonight kind of focused in on the state of Massachusetts, where there's been a lot of crap going on. But right before we get to that, Luann, you're staticking again.
Staticky?
You sound like... Yeah, we're getting electrocuted.
Yeah.
Whoa! Oh, this is... We're rolling tonight. And
but, oh, any better?
Yeah, that's better. Thank you. I don't know what it was. I thought I stepped on a live wire. Well, anyway, what I wanted to talk to you about first is Yolanda Bell. Many of you know her from the run we did on her sister Anastasia that was... guardianized by Inovia Fairfax out there in Virginia, and they spent a long process ending that lady's life, and she went through hell, so did her family. The person who became her guardian on behalf of Inovia Fairfax was Ken Leibowitz, and he's with Dingman Leibowitz PC, Alexandria, Virginia. And in this paper, he is writing with Veronica E. Williams from the law office of Veronica E. Williams, Newport News, Virginia. And what they're talking about, it says hospitals, nursing homes, and government agencies are routinely seeking to impose guardianships for patients and residents, a pattern that will surely continue and increase in the future. I can't wait for that. These efforts present particular issues and complications for the lawyers, for the parties, for the wards and their families, and for the guardians and conservators who are appointed. It says many hospital-sponsored adult incapacitated guardianship petitions have proper basis in that there are no available family members to serve as surrogate decision makers for incapacitated adults. And I want to stop right there because after almost 8 years and how many hundreds of broadcasts about this, this is an outright lie. It is rare that there is not family members jumping up and down and screaming, I'll do it. I'll take care of them. Let me take care of them. They won't do it, and they won't allow them to voice their objections in the probate administrative tribunals. They will not let them enter their name, enter any evidence, so that when they produce the record on that hearing, if they do, if they produce a record, it comes out that no one stepped up. No one was willing. they don't talk about the family that was standing in that courtroom crying their eyes out, begging. They don't talk about that. And what this does is it, and this is a very concerted effort to convince the public, which they're pretty well convinced of it now, that we just don't want our old people. We just cannot wait to get them in a nursing home. And one of the posters on my site just today said, you know, here we are, and we've got all these old people, and people just throw their relatives in there, and nobody comes to visit. I go to nursing homes, and nobody comes to visit them. How many of those people are under guardianship and are isolated? Probably most of them. Probably most of them. And but see, you don't know about that. How many were forced into that nursing home? Probably the majority of them. And how many had family wanting to take them and were prohibited from doing so? You need to actually attend some of these court hearings, if you can even call them that. You need to attend those to see what goes on. And of course, now what they're doing across the board virtually is they are preventing the public from coming in. Now they're claiming the right to privacy, and you know, you can't do it. Anytime you're going to take somebody's identity from them, which is what guardianship is, it's identity theft, the way it's done in this country. If it isn't a family member and it's a stranger to the family, it is outright identity theft. They now present themselves as that person, and they lay claim to all their assets. And but it's important for you, the public, to think and believe that nobody wanted this person, that nobody was willing to care for them. They just want the money. The only people that are after that money, I would say 9 times out of 10, is that predator standing over there with a string of attorneys next to them, waiting to steal that person's life and all of their assets. And this is exactly what professional guardianship is today. It is the theft of someone else's life and their life's work. It is a disinheriting of the family. Everything is given to somebody under the most bogus conditions and terms, and they are allowed to rape and raid that estate until every last dime is gone. So before you jumped on, well, there nobody wants their old people bandwagon, wait till it's you, sweetie, and see which one of your family jump up trying to save you. They won't be able to do it the way this thing is rolling. Anyway, that's my little rant for this evening. Our guest this evening, and along, like I say, along with us is Luann and Robin from faceus.org.
Hello. Hello.
Hey. And hopefully Mighty Mouse will show up this evening. We need somebody to say... Yay, Mighty Mouse!
Oh, hi!
Oh. Yay! Now, see, that just capped everything off. Mighty Mouse is here. Anyway, our guest, of course, is Lisa Belanger. She's out of Boston. And Lisa has been fighting a tremendous battle for 5 years or more now over her father, Marvin Siegel, who retired as an attorney, and his cohorts landed on him like a bunch of vultures. And he has been held hostage in his own home for 5 years. His children are not allowed, Lisa being his daughter, not allowed to visit with him. He is being forcibly medicated. And while this is done, they are bleeding off his estate. And the people who did this to him have now been appointed, or they want to appoint, to head up the new public guardianship office. Yippee. That's just what you need, two vultures picking over the carcasses. Lisa, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mark. It's been a while. Glad to be back.
Yep, you've been on with me several times over the years. Lisa, what is going on right now there in Massachusetts that people ought to know about?
Okay, well, it's getting worse by the second. Right now, they have made a bill trying to form a public guardianship office.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called Bill number, it's through the Senate, 1177.
Okay.
And so, as I sent you earlier today, there was a hearing, a public hearing held at Beacon Hill regarding this bill, which was videotaped by Janet Aldrich. from Comfilm News, and gratefully she was able to video that, because generally speaking, the legislature, even though they have the capability to do so, very rarely videotape their sessions. They decide
right.
to pick which ones they'd like to do and not do.
Uh-huh.
So, and to, unfortunately, when they had the hearing, it was supposed to be a public hearing, there were approximately 15 members of the legislature, approximately 5 showed up, and the principal party who spearheads this bill, Senator Cynthia Cream, decided that not to be present.
Oh, darn.
So, you know, I'm not, I'm thinking that she might have known that I was going to be there. I'm not sure. But it really didn't matter, as you can see by the video, because I was able to at least speak for a few minutes. I think Senator Blumberger was a little dismayed. He didn't really want me to speak, but that's a hard thing to keep me from doing. So I was supposed to be limited to approximately 3 minutes, even though my father's been held prisoner for over 5 years. But for the limited time that I was granted, I spoke about the conflict of interest and why this entire bill to establish a public office should be nixed. Basically, I showed that it's an incestuous scheme, and I showed that Senator Cream had very, very suspect role as an attorney, because her law firm focuses basically on this type of law, guardianships, estate planning, and so forth. Therefore, she has a personal interest in this money.
Yeah, she has. She stands a chance of making a wad off of this if it passed.
She's making a wad off it anyways. It's just a, it's just trying to make it official.
Legitimate.
So,
yes.
Legitimate, as if that could ever be. No. But basically, it's very ironic because the way it stands, they already use the supposed public guardianship businesses. For example, the Jewish Family Services. And basically what they do, just like you had spoken about previously, they petition to have these elders become known as incapacitated and wards. So this is already happening, because Jewish Family Services is not per se part of the state, so to speak. It's a quasi part of it, but it's a hybrid. So they already have this instituted. Now what happened, what I can see from the way the bill is, they want to make you think they're distinguishing between public and private. But when going through this bill, what it shows is that they're trying to create this entity under the executive officer of the governor. So basically the
right.
governor is saying, I want a piece of the pie.
Right.
Because this isn't doing away with anything that already exists in the court. This is just the same old thing that is already happening. And it shows, I mean, we all see in Massachusetts, our judges are appointed.
Right.
How's that working out for us? Okay.
Yeah.
The judges in Massachusetts.
You talk about this being under the executive's office. you know, it being underneath there. And the reason, I know the reason they do this, because this comes to the separation of powers thing. And this way it relieves the legislature and it relieves the judiciary from having to do anything that they're supposed to. You can say it's executive. Love you, baby. Sorry, granddaughter. Anyway, you can say it's executive. Yeah. you say it's executive. I'm sorry, kids come first. And
absolutely, I agree.
That you say it. Say what?
I said, oh, you weren't talking to me. Oh, excuse me.
No. I was talking to Mighty Mouse. But, but anyway, they do that. So, and then see, when you go to your legislators, they say, oh, we can't get involved. That's separation of powers. That's judicial. And you go to the judicial and they say, oh, we can't get involved. That's legislative. And they're both lying to you and telling you the truth at the same time. Neither one of them can get in it because it's executive. Well, now, being executive, it allows them to contract with federal agencies like Health and Human Services and the Social Security and all them. They get to contract with them, and this is where they start making federal dollars.
Actually, it's worse than that. It's not even just contracted. They actually say that this is operating under the specific human and health services.
Right.
So this
yep.
is one of the
that's
clients.
Called
I mean,
an umbrella.
I mean,
yeah, an umbrella agency.
Yeah. Well, guess what I call it, okay? Because this I have
careful,
to be nice. So that's
careful.
Right. I'm on the air.
Careful.
but the way that this bill stands on its face, it exactly. Combines exactly what it shouldn't, which is the executive and the judiciary, which it can't do. So this on its face is unconstitutional. It's just so unfathomable. I'm losing words here. I'm just losing words. But the way they want to have it is they want to put it under the control of the executive director.
Okay.
I'm trying to do this flow chart. Okay. So this bill wants to authorize the governor to create what is called the Office of Adult Guardianship and Decisional Support Services.
Yeah.
Which is considered to be, quote, within the Executive Office of Human and Health Services. Which then goes down to, it's supposed to be run by what they call an executive director. And the executive director, who is appointed by the government, you know, the governor, so we can see where the problem again, that same old thing with probate court, right? All those wonderful probate and court judges, right? So we're just going to now make another one. And call that an executive director, who then is supposedly to report to the Health and Human Services.
Right. To get their money.
Now, okay. Well, I mean, it's who's on first, what's on second, okay?
There he goes.
So so it says that the executive director is to designate, quote, a suitable organization, whatever the hell that is, in good standing with the Secretary of State's office.
Ah. Ah.
And we're saying a organization. So suppose, I guess that's one organization. Now, they're calling that the Office of Public Guardian for the Commonwealth.
Okay, now,
talk
Lisa,
about smoking mirrors.
Yeah, Lisa, explain the difference. Because I can't tell myself, and I have looked and tried to define this, but what is the difference between a public and a private guardian? Because I can't see any that there's any difference whatsoever.
No, there isn't. And in fact, when you just peel the onion back, what this actually is, it's just another elder, quote-unquote, protective service.
Yeah.
That's all it
is. Protect us from them.
They're the ones who are creating.
Yes.
The, you know, feeding the systems there, right? Because that's how we bring in, you know, the sources so that they can do their money laundering and embezzlement.
Yes. Okay.
So there is no difference.
Go ahead. It's
semantics. Potato, potato. I mean, this is just the pea under the shell game. Okay?
On this bill that they passed, it says the business plan herein relates exclusively to the public portion of the proposed public-private partnership. And they did not state what the private part of this would be. But one of the selling points, supposedly, is that it would save Massachusetts citizens approximately $400,000 a year to enact this thing. And like I've said before, nobody gets into anything. When you're talking public-private partnerships, what you mean is the privatization of what should be a government service, and nobody gets into it unless there is a massive profit to be made. And all this is doing is making these people legal, not lawful, legal. It means that the theft that they're about to commit will be legalized under this setup that you're talking about, and you won't be able to do anything about it.
The language in the statute, just call it whatever they want, but when you read the language, it's public. That's all there is to it.
It says the proposed Adult Guardianship and Decisional Support Act addresses this social need. Yes, we need this because we haven't got enough old people getting robbed and isolated. This social need through a unique vision of public-private partnership. Under the Act, Commonwealth will establish a small state agency, the Executive Office of Adult Guardianship and Decisional Support, hereinto referred to as the agency, that will identify, establish, and monitor public guardianship as a function of government. It will not, however, perform or, more importantly, fund the services of the public decisional fiduciary. All direct services and funding of those services will be provided by a nonprofit agency that is designated by the agency as the public guardian. Now, if you understood any of that, you're doing way better than me, because this looks like it was written by SCOTUS. It just makes no sense. But there here again, and it says, unlike many states.
But who are they relying on?
Yes.
They're relying on the Guardian Trust Incorporated. Who are those people? And who are those? The attorneys. That's right, attorneys.
Yes.
What? That's right. Private estate planning, guardianship.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, that's right. Former AG Scott Harshbarger. How interesting.
Yes. Well, this goes on and it says, now, you have to understand, Massachusetts loves you. Unlike many states, Massachusetts does not have a public guardianship program for the most isolated and indigent of those in need. This is where they're going to go after, like that predator running up in Detroit. They're going to do business by volume. They're going to go after people on Social Security who have only Social Security or maybe Social Security and military or railroad retirements.
I'm sorry, did you say going after? I'm sorry, they've just been doing it for 30 years.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is now we're going to do it by volume, like that predator up there in Detroit who has 1,700 clients right now.
No, they already have it. They're just saying we're not afraid to say it out loud now.
Yeah.
Now we just want to thumb our nose, and now we're going to, you know.
Yeah. It says several small studies in other states suggests that such programs can provide substantial savings to society by improving quality of life, as well as reducing financial costs in areas such as medicine. Long-term care, let's see, medicine, we'll put them on psychotropic drugs, and we'll get paid by the pharmaceutical to do that. Long-term care, if you
savings.
Get into hospice.
Wait.
What?
Savings. You know what that means. Pulling the plug, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Long-term care,
my
there ain't going to be any of that. Social
remember
services
my Beverly
and housing.
Case?
Yeah, social services and housing. Again, we'll model it after this predator up in Detroit, and we'll just kidnap people and put them in a residential house that's never been inspected, as well as other costs that may be incurred when no one is available to consent to treatment, or we didn't allow them to step up and do anything, or assist with other crucial decisions for individuals with diminished capacity. And who decides you have diminished capacity? The same people that are going to prey on you. Now, what is wrong with this picture? Luann, Robin, what do you think?
It's really wrong.
I wish I could take issue. I wish that I could. Oh, you're overstating the case. Or, oh, you know what? It's not as bad as you say. But it's every...
They're saying we're trying to help you.
This is gonna really tug at your heartstrings. It's under vision. The Public Guardian is committed to the promise that everyone who needs decisional help in Massachusetts, regardless of financial means or social circumstances, may have access to such help in whatever form most enhances the individual's personal dignity and least impinges upon his or her existing powers of self-determination. Oh, shut up.
Whether you like it or not.
Yeah, and the mission is, in light of its vision, the mission of the Public Guardian is to provide guardianship and decisional support services to unrepresented, incapacitated persons without resources to pay for private services. Oh, please, you're going to take their Social Security, railroad retirement, military retirement, and you're going to sell off their firstborn. So who in the hell are you trying to get?
Even the Massachusetts probate uniform code, they even outright state in there one of the main purposes is to liquidate the estate. They outright say it themselves. Oh, my.
Yes. Yep.
Not even sugarcoating it.
Well, see, where they tried to make it sound good was under use of volunteers. See, it sounds like this is all going to be done gratis because that's just what kind of good people we are. In planning this program, we have spoken with a range of other programs that use volunteers and have found a continuum of models. For example, in Tennessee, one of the most corrupt states for conservatorship there is going, individual programs use volunteers in different ways, but mostly as office help or friendly visitors. Oh, on the other hand of the spectrum is Kansas, who trains and supervises volunteers, and then those volunteers are named guardian and responsible for all guardianship matters. This is where we recruit apprentices to learn the business of stealing estates. Somewhere in the middle is Indiana's VASIA program, which pairs clients and volunteers for a one-to-one relationship. Well, I would think the rest of this would be one-to-one, too, but of course, you know, you don't have to go see that person. You don't ever have to see him at all. The volunteer does the majority of the casework with supervision by paid staff. So, in other words, we're going to get a bunch of people to do the grunt work, and then the people at the top are going to get paid, but the volunteers are not. And they're going to take the money from the estate of the person who was incapacitated, even if it's just giving them $44 out of their Social Security check and taking the rest because, you know, they had to designate these jobs for this staff and these volunteers. They says we picture using a similar model in which a small paid staff will act as guardianship case managers, supervising the volunteers who will be the major link to the clients. Do you see what I'm saying? I'm going to sit in an office and scrape every dime I can off these people I've kidnapped and put under these involuntary guardianships, sell off all their stuff, pocket all of that, drive away in their car and go live in their house. But we're gonna do a yearly interview with the volunteer and client together.
But it really says is that they're gonna be overseeing themselves. in actuality,
yes.
when you
yes,
look at
self-policing.
That whole thing, self-policing, yes. We see how well that works.
Yes. Oh, it just, I don't know. This is just absolutely sick. And now this hasn't passed yet, has it?
No, it hasn't.
Yeah.
By some good fortune, it's stuck a little bit, you know. From what I hear in May, though, they're supposedly going to have another hearing. I don't know if that's supposed to be the vote, but so far we've staved it off, and I'm hoping that through more publicity that we're going to be able to derail this.
Now that is, and
that's
and the thing
exactly
is,
why I actually. Oh, go ahead, Faye.
This was the Harshberger bill. And he claimed when he first came out with this that, now he's the former Attorney General of Massachusetts, that he was sorry. He wanted to get this done while he was Attorney General, but he wasn't able to do it. So he's bringing it out now. And reading through this bill, it says in there that absolutely everybody associated with that guardianship, from the attorneys and the guardians right on down through the nursing home and whoever's holding that person hostage, the caretakers, everybody, is immune from any sort of prosecution from wrongdoing. And he even cites, even in the case of what he called ordinary negligence. I have written to that man twice and asked him to please tell me what ordinary negligence was, because I just didn't know. Negligence is negligence. I have yet to receive any response from him on that. But even ordinary negligence, so they drop you and you know, split your head open, and that's what, ordinary negligence? What is it? Carly has joined us from Georgia, and she's our Tuesday night host. Carly, what do you think about all this? She's not talking.
I don't know. Speechless. Let me say one more thing, though, about the former AG Harshberger,
mm-hmm.
that it's just very conveniently that he works now with the law firm of Kasner and Edwards that happens
okay.
to do this type of work. They actually
mm-hmm.
represent elder services, but they also, they get to play all sides. They get to be all things to all people. So they get to represent private people for doing estate planning, guardianship. So he's in the thick of it now.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also on the board of that Guardian Trust Institute that just happens to be the one that does the study for the very bill.
Okay. Now, this bill mimics exactly S-178 that came out federally, in that it says mandated reporter. Now, the one thing about S-178 was it basically was reiteration of standing state and federal laws against internet fraud, wire fraud, you know, scams against the elderly. But stuck in the middle of it was, to further protect our elderly, it says we are going to further fund and empower. And then it names all these agencies in here. It says as a mandated reporter, a person who is a physician, medical intern, hospital personnel engaged in the examination, care, or treatment of persons, medical examiner, psychologist, emergency medical technician, dentist, nurse, chiropractor, podiatrist, I guess your toes have something to say, optometrist, osteopath, allied mental health and human services professional, drug and alcoholism counselor, psychiatrist or clinical social worker, teacher in a public or private facility, an educational administrator, guidance or family counselor, elder care worker, person paid to care for or work with the elders in any public or private facility or home program. Let's see, voucher management agencies of elder care or food programs, a probation officer, clerk, magistrate of a district court, parole officer, social worker, foster parent, firefighter, police officer, a priest, rabbi, clergy member, ordained or licensed minister, leader of any church or religious body, accredited Christian Science practitioner, person performing official duties on behalf of a church or religious body that are recognized as the duties of a priest, rabbi, clergy, ordained or licensed minister, leader of any church or religious religious body, accredited Christian Science practitioner, or person employed by a church or religious body to supervise, educate, coach, train, or counsel an elder on a regular basis, in charge of medical or other private institution, blah, 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 blah. A mandated reporter who, in his professional capacity, has reasonable cause to believe that an elder is suffering physical or emotional injury resulting from abuse inflicted upon him, which causes substantial harm and neglect, including malnutrition. Now, wait a minute, I got to stop here because it says abuse inflicted upon him. What about the abuse inflicted on this person by these professional guardians who isolate them and neglect them? Can we report that? And including sexual abuse, okay. Neglect, including malnutrition. Can we now report hospice for withdrawing hydration and nutrition? I want to know. That, by the way, is part of the UN's ban on torture. It is listed withdrawing nutrition and hydration for any period of time equally considered torture. Okay, and then it goes on, being sexually exploited or being human trafficked as a victim defined by Section 20M of Chapter 233. So being run through the guardianship mill and trafficked by professional guardians and attorneys is okay, but otherwise it isn't. Luann,
yeah.
Robin, what do you think?
Okay, and can you...
Wow.
Yeah, I think basically... Anyone that is part of the inner circle, the club of people that are allowed to take people and make them into property, anyone that's in that inner circle is pretty much carte blanche. Anyone that's out of that circle is pretty much out of luck.
Yes.
So well, there's any attorney except me, right?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, except you, that's right. Your dad's got too much money, we can't let you do it. And it says, for the purpose of reporting under this section, hospital personnel...
Well, any doctor's better than George Smith.
Yes, hospital personnel may have photographs taken
exactly
of the areas of trauma.
That's exactly what you need to do. If that's your only way out.
Yeah.
With your family.
On the elder, without the consent of the elder's guardians.
You watch that like a hawk. No...
Yeah, okay, that dropped. Anyway, visible on the elder without the consent of the elder's guardians. These photographs or copies thereof shall be sent to the department with report. And how many of you out there who have had an individual in your family taken prisoner by one of these guardians have been prohibited from taking any photographs, have had your phones taken from you by security, have by nurses, try to take my phone sometimes, see how that works out for you. And you're prohibited for some reason because this is chattel property, meaning movable property and goods laying there in that bed, and it belongs to someone else. And you can't take pictures of it. So you see, they've what they can do is, like, if it can be used against you, now we can take pictures. But if it can be used against them, then you're prohibited. You can't. You cannot. So do you see how this is working out?
Yes,
they can call
say
in.
What color uniforms they wear?
Yeah, there you go. It says local law enforcement authorities and the department shall be immediately notified. When I read through these kinds of bills, what I see is everything we've been fighting is made legal for them, and it is prohibited for the public, for the people that have a vested interest in this. And we can't let this stuff slide by. We just cannot let it slide by. I don't know. I don't know what to do with this.
That's why I formed this new center, because this is exactly what I am fighting against, and I will be taking this judicially to be determined unconstitutional.
Well,
this
of course it is.
Unconstitutional on its face.
Well, and that's the thing, too, Betsy, when we get into these administrative tribunals, and, you know, what I mentioned the last time I was on about how reading through the Bar Association here in Minnesota, where they openly refer to these so-called courts as tribunals. And they have tried to make them legitimate under Article 1, which didn't work. So they went to Article 3, and that didn't work. They went to Article 4, and that really doesn't work either. But I always say the more treatises you see about something trying to legitimize it, the less legitimate it is. Because if it was legitimate, you wouldn't need all of that. But you get these big, long, rambling diatribes about why it, yeah, it's constitutional. But it's like, again, reading a Supreme Court ruling, you cannot make heads or tail of it. And the only thing you come away with concluding is the lunatics are running the asylum, and now they're writing law. And it just makes me crazy thinking about this stuff. Lisa, When you went to that hearing, where you were able to speak and everything, what did you get? Was the general sense from the few people that bothered to show up on that committee?
Oh boy, they wanted to get rid of me as fast as they could. It doesn't matter what I say. It doesn't matter how much evidence I show. They are really, really upset by the fact that I produce evidence, and even more so that is on videotape. That really frustrates them to no end.
Yes.
They talk over you. It doesn't anything to try and deflect. It's not as though that they'll answer questions that are, with the appropriate responses. It just does, for them, it just doesn't matter. They think they're going to do whatever they want to do because they apparently think they're above the law.
Well, but obviously, Lisa, they are. That's what I think galls everybody.
Well, that's because it is a one-party system. Look, we've got the governor who's facilitating this with the attorney general. He's making the probate court justice system even worse than it was. If you can imagine that, when you have the governor and the attorney general actually aiding and abetting this,
you know,
it's bad.
Yeah. Well, and they're doing it. The one thing that I have, in trying to figure out why all of this is going on, going back again to that book where the general population is considered a waste population and we're disposable. And especially if you hit the age of 60, and especially after Obamacare, you are disposable. You have to be gotten rid of. And we've got a federal government that now owes Social Security a little over $4 trillion in money it has taken from Social Security and surpluses, and they've also started getting into the principal. Now, supposedly, Lisa, there are 45 million people, which would be about, a quarter of our population? It'd be a little more less than that, that is on Medicare, on Social Security and Medicare. They're killing us off at the rate of about 2.5 to 3 million a year. As near as I can find out from stats, people on Medicare dying in a year. I got that from Health and Human Services. Okay, so if that's happening, and they're going to accelerate this as more of us become of retirement age, they have to get rid of us. And the reason they have to get rid of us is this $4 trillion. They call it an unfunded liability, and in a sense, it is. It is an unfunded liability. It is a liability created by the government to people in Social Security, and they have no way to pay it back and never intended to. They thought they'd have Social Security collapsed long before this. And so the run-up to so many boomers retiring was the silver tsunami. What are we going to do when all these boomers retire? It's going to be terrible. It's going to break the economy. No, you're going to have to pay back. But see, the only way they can pay back that money is to come back to the same people they stole it from to begin with. And the workers currently working today, I've heard the argument, well, we don't have as many workers for every Social Security retiree as we did have. Originally, there were 16, and now there's only 3. The difference is they aren't making $1.05 an hour. Now they're making $15, $16, $17 an hour. So you have basically balanced this out. And the money, of course, isn't worth anything anyway, but you have balanced out this worker leverage that they're using. They have no way to pay this back. And it's getting to the point where
It's more about lining their pockets.
Yes. At 2035 or 2037, they claim Social Security is going to be insolvent. And it's going to be insolvent because even as they're telling us this program is going broke, they continue to siphon money off of it. Every trust fund we got, whether it's highways or airport or whatever it is, there's 11 different supposed trust funds. None of them are secured funds any longer, just like Social Security goes straight into the IMF World Bank as a designated revenue stream and goes right into the general fund. So, and for you people that think we have a treasury here in the United States, knock, knock, Puddinhead, no hell, we don't. Haven't had since 1933. And we have a treasury secretary who is the liaison, the governor for the IMF. They get an appointment for a term of 5 years. If they accept it, they swear an oath to the IMF World Bank. They are expatriated for those 5 years, meaning they forfeit their U.S. citizenship. And to prove this out, I go back again to Timothy Geithner in his back and forth with Maxine Waters over the stimulus, when she kept asking him why the IMF World Bank had done what they had done. He said to her twice, because that is what your government wanted us to do. Your government, not my government, not our government, but your government. He was telling the public very plainly, I do not work for you. I work for the IMF World Bank. And so, but all this money goes into there and it's all commingled. It's no longer safe. You remember Newt Gingrich used to scream all the time about putting a lockbox on Social Security? Put a lockbox. Mm-hmm. You know, we need to put a lockbox on Social Security. Well, he doesn't say that anymore. And of course, I don't know anybody listens to anything he says anyway, but I can remember him saying that. And, Luann, Robin, you're sitting there quiet. Say something. I'm talking way too much.
I'm listening to this, and it's just all it is just a way to rob everybody. I mean, you don't have to be old. You don't have to be old. You don't have to, you could be mid-50s, and it's whoever has money. They're going to go down. They're going to become a ward to the state. And they don't even need a reason why anymore. I get complaints all over the nation, and it's like people call me up and say, well, how can they do this? It's because they can, okay?
Because they can, exactly.
And they're getting,
and who's
going to
stop them?
Until we, the people, wise up against it.
That's it. And until we all band together and just start telling everybody, no, this is not going to happen, you know?
Because no one else is going to do it. See, that's what I've been trying with this organization that I've put together, the People's Center for Law and Justice, that I'm trying to put together an effort that educates citizens and to actually put together a formal group of citizens that are going to fight back for accountability. Because we the people have to take responsibility for it.
Right.
We cannot look to anybody. We can't look to the politicians, number one, no matter who they are. Okay?
Nope.
So we have to look at how did we get this to where we are today in the first place. And we have to look in the mirror.
There you go.
So, and I'm on Twitter and so forth, and, you know, a lot of people are fed up and so forth, but what I really need is for people to start really getting active and doing something, because it's great to be able to get this out and talk about it, but until we hit the ground running, We're just going to be spinning our wheels. So here's my problem. What does it take? What is needed to get people to understand that they need to get involved in the local government? Okay, I'm stumped here because, you know, I'm trying to educate and so forth. I just don't know what it's going to take because people are waiting, what, until it happens to them?
Yes.
I don't know.
Well, Lisa, you know how that goes. Well, it must be an isolated incident. I never heard of such a thing before. Well, you must have done something wrong or they wouldn't have done that. And they're the ones that, the people that say that crap are the ones that scream the loudest when it happens to them. And then they're screaming to the same people they were denigrating and marginalizing. They run into them saying, help me, help me, help me. What you just highlighted, what does it take to get people involved? Deidre Gilbert and I from Medical Malpractice Association did a show a couple years ago called What Does It Take to Get You on Your Feet? I'm tired of people doing the social networking thing. That's great. I appreciate all the promos on the shows. I truly do. But, you know, when we have a gathering or a protest or something else, why can't you show up? You know, we're not just fighting for ourselves. We're fighting for you, too. Why can't
exactly.
you show up? And, you know, when like Luann and Robin out there in Colorado have just worked their tails off trying to expose this stuff. They go to hearings. They go to this. They go to that. They go to something else. And where are the rest of these people? I want to know. I want to know. I just met with, actually, I thought it was 60, but it's about 90 people when I actually saw the list here in an impromptu meeting that we pulled together in about 2 days. All of them were 60 and older. And what I'm listening to, and I'm basically just sitting back, believe it or not, and listening to these people talk, they're talking about being terrified of their physicians, terrified of them. Because if
they need to be. Because, like I'm always saying, I do a hashtag, judicial and medical industrial complex. Because, you see, it's the hospitals and other medical providers that are working hand-in-hand with the attorneys.
Yes. Yeah, and where did we get the idea that hospitals should have guardians on staff and that this was okay? Or that hospitals, because somebody asked for a second opinion, could medically kidnap someone and hold them prisoner for asking for
their
a second opinion.
Told them.
Yeah, and see, and
their attorneys told them about it.
Would you, Robin? You say something.
It happens every day. People realize, Marty.
Say what?
It happens every day. I see it happening every day. Even at where my mom is in a nursing home, there's a lot of people under guardianship there. You know?
Oh, God.
I've done years and years of research.
Yeah.
And countless times, the petitioners, who are the petitioners? They're either elder services, okay, or the hospitals themselves.
Yes.
Despite the fact that there are family members, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's a very rare case to find someone that doesn't have family. No, what happens is they've got to say, oh, it's the family members that are trying to exploit their you know, parent.
Yep. And they don't have to have any proof. That's what gets me, and that's another thing about a tribunal.
They have their own rules
and guidelines. They don't have to have any proof. They can stand up and levy the most god-awful charges against the family or even friends of the person, and they never have to produce any evidence that what they have said has any truth to it whatsoever. And the people on the other side trying to defend...
Is my case not the poster child for that, please? Of my father...
Yeah.
Who, God bless him, still alive, and I know he's waiting for me to set him free. He's 89, and I know he knows that I'm fighting for him. And so he's been an attorney for over 50 years. I'm an attorney who at the time had been practicing over 15 years. And that's how I actually got involved, because I said, okay, and especially as an appellate practitioner, I'm in this probate court that I didn't really have experience with that before, so I didn't know what had been going on. And when I, as an attorney, evidence, and it's just an absolute kangaroo court, I said to myself, okay, if this is going to happen to me and my dad, what is happening to the average citizen?
Yes.
Okay, because if they're running roughshod over me, we know
yeah.
there's trouble. Okay?
Yep.
And so, you know, I mean, that's when you know that this is really lawlessness to the nth degree. Okay?
Yeah. I just...
But that's okay,
because
I'm not
yeah.
through with them yet. Okay?
Yeah.
So...
Well, it's the people like that are standing
yeah.
up. You know, it's people like you and us out in Colorado, and I hear the advocates all over the nation, and until then, you know, everybody starts putting their effort. If this is going to continue, you know, and I don't
yeah.
see any in sight anywhere. I really don't. You know,
you don't see any what,
well,
Luann?
I don't see any end in this probate.
Yeah.
You know,
it's like they ignore all of
elders
us.
Anytime soon.
Yeah.
It's just going to keep continuing. Until we get louder and louder, that's as much as we can do, you know.
Until we the people collectively get together and say enough is enough.
Right. And you know what? Even then, it's sort of like the National Rifle Association. They all know that a lot of these guns are killing people, but it's a lot of money involved, you know. Probate has a lot of money involved. It's like multi-trillion-dollar business. You know, it's not going to be.
Well, isn't that the thing? How interesting that after all these years that there's still no real data, okay? They refuse to do any reporting or anything like that, especially shame on the Government Accountability Office, because that's a farce for how many years now they want to pretend like they're doing legislative hearings, saying, oh, we're doing this, we care about the elderly. Please.
Right.
It's a sham.
Well, and the thing with the GAO is when they do a study, like I'll bring up 2010 because that was such a killer there. They changed it after they published it. But they looked at 12 families in 5 states. 5 cases or 12 cases in 5 states. Yeah, and then they came out and said that the result of that was, as near as they could tell, that the majority of the time predatory guardianships were committed by professionals. And there was such a screaming from elder law attorneys and the National Guardianship Association and the College of Probate Judges that within a week they had changed it and said, oh, it was family members. And that is what they keep harping to the public. It's family members. They're abusing the elderly. They're stealing their money. We've got proof of that. My goodness, they wrote a check out of their account for gas. And $40 for gas, and we can't see any, and so we've got to get them protected because the family member is, you know, and they never audit, they never produce an audit, they're supposed to, but they don't, and now we've got guardianship cases being held open by these professionals in some states for 3 months, up to 5, 6, and 7 years to make sure every dime gets bled off of that estate, all to benefit the ward, of course.
Marty, since when is it a crime for a family member to give another family member a pack of diapers or you know, help someone pay their rent in their family? I mean, a lot of these families, they put all their hard-earned work into helping their family. So when they pass on, they want to give their legacy to their family.
And even before they pass, the thing that they want to do is to be helpful to them. Because that's their loved ones, that's their legacy, that's their reason for being oftentimes.
It's even worse because, as in my case, you have the supposed durable power attorneys that you prepare well in advance, hire the estate planning attorneys, you dot your I's, dot entities and everything, you know, the person has said how they want things, and then when you get thrown into court, what happens? It exists. It never existed. Okay?
Well,
it's completely disregarded.
Right. And one guy stood up at this meeting I was at right towards the end, and he said, his statement was, I worked my whole life to build up my assets with the intent of leaving it all to my kids for their future. I didn't do this so some slithering snake could steal it all from them by claiming the kids had or would abuse me. And that was a big concern, was these malicious charges made against family members, children or spouses or whomever, that you know, these charges were made. And he went on to say, I quoted part of what he said, but he went on to say, he said, even if they were, he said, they're my kids. I don't care. And he said, but he said, I do have a problem with a total stranger walking in and taking everything I worked for my whole life. And I thought, well, that's pretty succinct. You know, but in listening to these people, talking about going into the hospital, and being terrified that if they did, they'd never come home. Talking about not going for medical treatment because they were afraid of their doctor and afraid they would end up in the hospital, be forced into the hospital. These people talked about their physician threatening them with noncompliance, reporting them for noncompliance
yes.
to Medicare and getting their benefits pulled if they didn't take medications. Preventative, they didn't have any this disease or that disease, but we're going to give you this medication for a preventative. Well, I don't want it. I don't have the disease. Well, you're going to take it anyway.
That's
if you don't,
exactly
I'll,
right.
yeah, I'll you know, nail you for noncompliance. And
yeah,
when I listen to
no
these
more
people,
personal choice. You don't
yeah.
you don't get a right to decide anymore how you want to, you know, what medications you want to take. There's no personal rights
no.
anymore.
And I've one of the things that was brought up there, too, and I talked about it on some of the other shows, and a lady asked me to speak about it, was the word biologics. When you go to your doctor's office, and they always have the back of the monitor to you and tell you to sign the little pad out there, it's just a standard release form saying it's okay for us to treat you. No, it's way more than that. Tell them to print it off, and you'll read it. And then sign it. And they'll argue with you, but tell them until they print it off. You're not signing anything you can't read first. But what you'll find in there is the word biologics. And what that is vaccines, for the most part, or experimental blood work. All different kinds of things under there, but mainly vaccines. And they even claim the right under biologics to vaccinate you, even if you're under anesthetic. They can vaccinate you then, against your will. And you have signed a release and told them they could. So when you go to the doctor's office, make them print that release, that permission to treat you, off. Read it, cross that word biologics out, put your initials by it. And then under your signature that you'll sign with an ink pen, you write on there, no vaccines under any circumstances for any reason. And leave it at that. No blood, you know, experimental blood work. You know, and this is what you're covering. This is what the word biologics means. This got changed under Obama, or added, let me put it that way, under Obamacare. This was a way to try to vaccinate as many people as possible. And we know what vaccination does. It causes outbreaks of disease. And but anyway, there are things you have to watch for when you go in. The same thing will happen if you're admitted to the hospital. And they'll say, you know, it's a standard admission form. Just sign here. Read it first. Make them print it off and give you a copy with your signature on it. And don't sign anything without reading it first, because you could be opening up the door to damn hell if you do. But listening to these people talk about living, some of them talked about living in hiding. And I never go to the doctor. Because as long as I don't go to the doctor, you know, I don't have to worry about somebody coming after me and trying to put me in one of those homes. And I thought,
have you
where
noticed,
do we live?
Have you noticed that for primary care now, that they're actually adding social workers to their practice?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
And you want to be careful
where that's going, right?
Yes. Well, and if you're in the hospital, and a lady spoke about this too, about a social worker coming in uninvited and saying, I just want to talk to you. And she said, all the hair stood up on my head. And she said, I told her, I don't want to talk to you. She said, it's just a short interview. And she said, you know, just so I know that, she said, I said, I don't want to talk to you. You need to leave my room. The woman leaves and then writes up a report as if she had actually interviewed this woman and said that the woman exhibited signs of abuse and she saw some bruising on her that concerned her and everything else. And she said, thank God I got out of the hospital before this report made it any further than what it had gone. And she said, by the time she filed it, I had already been discharged. She said, we have been in hiding ever since. She said that, she said, my husband and I, she said, a kind of a large estate. And she said, we know we're targeted. And she said, they're hunting for us. And I thought, my God, this is, how did we get to this?
Here's the thing. It's not even just people with money, okay? That's the cherry on top, okay?
Yeah.
The bread and butter, okay, are people who actually don't have, you know, much financial value, so to speak. Here's the key, okay? Government benefits. If you're on Social
yes.
Security, disability,
yep.
VA, okay, that is the bread and butter, because the racket is the Medicare, Medicaid fraud, which is why
yes.
in Massachusetts refuses to do an audit on the probate family court, okay?
Right.
Refuses to do it.
Well, you know, the thing is, that's another thing, the Medicare fraud. The federal government admits that $30 to $60 billion, that's with a B, a year, is defrauded from Medicare by the medical industry. And I have talked with people who say, who talk about, you know, you the retired people, you know, they're draining all the resources and, you know, they're wasting money. Name me one Medicare beneficiary that gets a check when they go to the doctor. One, just one. There isn't one. We don't get any money. That doctor does. The hospital does. The drug company does. This one does. That one does. The beneficiaries do not get a check for going to the doctor or for being in the hospital. If you want to know who's draining the money, look at the person who has MD behind their name or whatever
hospital. I'm just not sure how these people, how do they go to sleep at night? That's what I want to know. Because they must not have any mirrors in their houses.
Well, they haven't got any soul, that's for sure. Robin, Luann, what you think?
Well, I think that they spend all that money on big, fluffy beds and melatonin so they can sleep at night.
Oh, you meant Seroquel, don't you?
Yeah. I just, you know... It just, I can't even believe that this is going on. And being in that meeting with all those people, and I'm sitting there listening to them, some of them were on the verge of tears. People were obviously scared. And I thought, how did this happen? How did we get here? How did we get here? And somebody stood up and said, well, you need to go to your attorney. And everybody's going, no, don't do that. You know, all they're going to do is get your information and then set the wheels in motion, which is what these estate planners do. They collect your data and they sell you a bogus plan that isn't worth the paper it's written on. And they know that any probate judge in the country can and will discard it as soon as somebody decides they want what
is.
You got.
Listen, my dad's was as perfect as can be. Listen, there was nothing wrong with it. Okay?
Right.
So they can write it as great as can be. It just doesn't matter.
Nope, it does not. It does not. Luann, you got
but
done out
you
of
what,
a bunch, didn't you?
What'd you say?
Well,
you got out of a bunch of stuff. I mean, you got done out of a lot through that, through the estate theft there, didn't you?
No. Well, we've had, like I said, we've had all of our property taken, and many families have had all their properties taken. And you can go to legislation all you want. You can go to Attorney General.
See,
you can go to all that. But they all seem to act like they're all above the law out here, you know, and I raise awareness, and everybody says, they can't do that, and you say, oh, yes, they can, and they look at you all weird, like you're from a different nation, you know. When I talk to families out here, I tell them that, you know, your trust and your wills aren't worth a darn, and they're like, we're protected, we have a trust.
Yes.
I'm like, well, we have a trust, and I know people that had two trusts and it didn't protect them. You know, well, we have power of attorney. Well, we had power of attorney, and so did everybody else have power of attorney, but that doesn't matter. You know, when they want your property, they're going to take it, period.
Yes, they are.
Whenever they want to take that person, you know, whenever they want to put that person into guardianship, they're going to do it whatever means it's going to take, you know.
And no evidence needed.
But, you know, while we're talking to them earlier,
that's true.
Some really good laws. Except for the people are ignorant about it. And I looked at him really flabbergasted the other day, you know. He said, we have enough laws. We have all that. He says that we need to get more educated about them. And I'm like, wow. I don't even know what to say.
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. We have plenty of laws that need to be enforced. And it'd be really wonderful if the AG would actually do her job and prosecute these perpetrators instead of aiding and abetting.
Right.
Well, yeah, but see, they're not going to do it because you look what happens to attorneys, Lisa. And I'm surprised. Well, I know they launched an investigation against you after you filed that RICO case. But look, this is what they do. Anybody who actually tries to fight this system, any attorney, they go after them, investigate them, either sanction them or put them totally out of business and disbar them. And they will plant fake stories all over the net. They will destroy their practice, ruin their finances, absolutely tarnish their name to no end. And it just that's to teach you a lesson. You
we've
can't
had
do
five
this.
Attorneys out here. But that's happened to Marty. We've had five attorneys that I know of.
Right. Okay,
no,
but
God,
all
God.
I can say is sunlight is the best disinfectant, okay? You know, it's okay. They need to have the attitude of you got to do what's right, okay? Go get another job or something. Really, if you're going to be scared about that, so you're just going to put your tail between your legs and say, I'm going to go along with this?
Right. There you go.
No can do.
Well, we've got you know, as Luann said, there's five out there. I know of two here in Minnesota. There have been several across the country that have, for bucking the system, actually trying to defend their client, got investigated. And, of course, this is one time the Judicial Oversight Board, you know, they or the Bar Oversight, you know, will actually do what it's supposed to do. Of course, they do it for the wrong reasons. But they will. This is what they're supposed to do on a daily basis: go after these attorneys or judges who have acted outside the law. But they won't do it.
Yeah.
They won't do it.
No. They only do it as far as retaliation for those who are trying to do the right thing.
That's right. That's right. And it is self-policing does not work.
And that is why, you know, it just people need to open up their mouths. That's all. I mean. The more people are willing to say this, that's what needs to happen. Because people cannot just be afraid. That's how they thrive. They thrive on darkness. They thrive on people being scared.
Yes.
And until people decide to say, we're not going to take it anymore, that is what is needed for people to start coming out.
We've got a caller on here from area code 828. Did you have a question or comment?
Good afternoon, Marty. I did have a question. I'm out of Collier County, Florida, and a group of us has filed criminal complaints with the FBI. And my question to Lisa is, we're trying to get information on how we can find out if these criminal complaints are being investigated or not. Can Lisa give me any kind of guidance to what I can file to make sure they're doing this?
Did you get that, Lisa?
What?
She wants to know.
Well, I gave to probably Bette that there is nothing to really to make sure, because the statistics show that there is no law enforcement on this.
Well, that and they, this is why
there
we
is
suggested,
no law oversight.
No, there, and this is why we no, suggested okay. setting up the citizens oversight commissions and committees. And I'm having trouble getting that organized up here because people are scared to death of these attorneys, and they're scared that law enforcement will be sicked on them. And but this is the only way. When you have 98% of all complaints that go into the Bar Association or these bar oversight or judicial oversight being swept under the rug, and they don't do anything, and only in one or two cases out of 100 will they move at all, and then it's usually just a fine or something else. This is what we're saying. The self-policing does not work because all it ends up being is a protection racket, and that is exactly how it operates, as a protection racket.
But the district attorneys won't do anything.
No.
The attorney generals won't do anything.
Yeah, that's the whole thing.
So when you can't get those law enforcement agencies to actually, you know, prosecute these criminal perpetrators.
Yeah, well, then that's the thing. You can't and the sheriff's department most especially. And so many estates have talked about, oh, they signed on to the Uniform Probate Code. And, you know, and the first thing the Sheriff's Department is supposed to do is to protect the rights of the targeted victim. They don't call them that, but of the individual. And, of course, they don't. They don't. Whatever that attorney or CPS or APS or one of these other alphabet agencies says is just what's going to happen. And they don't care if they violate your rights. They don't care if they violate due process. And you will not see due process followed in any of these cases, even though all the guardianship statutes say that, you know, we will follow due process. No, they don't do that. If they followed due process, they'd be in jail and you'd be home. So that's just, you know, you have a legitimate focus there of how do we make sure these complaints are addressed, but you have nowhere to take it where they will be addressed, and that's the problem. And as Lisa said, you can't get a state attorney general. Your state attorney general will tell you point blank, if you press them enough, that they are not there to protect the public. They are there to protect the state from you. That's their job. And the only time they, like the DOJ in D.C., will move is if the government has suffered an injury. And that means a loss or environmental something or other, you know, where the public lands are messed up. That's the only time they'll move.
Or if you can get a legislator that decides, you know, they want to, you know, make something public out of it. Because if you remember, Justina Pelletier in Massachusetts,
yes.
Where she was abducted, she was a Connecticut resident. But Massachusetts DCF abducted her, again, medically kidnapped, right? Because, oh my goodness, her parents wanted a second opinion, God forbid, okay?
Yep.
But what happened was they were able to get the spotlight on it, and Representative Jim Lyons decided to be the vocal, you know, the voice for them. And lo and behold, fortunately, after a year, they finally got their daughter back. And also, one other thing that was crucial was that Lou Pelletier, God bless him, even though he was supposedly under a gag order by the probate and family court judge, he said no way, and he did not bow down to them. He fought for his daughter. He went on. Fortunately, he was able to get onto Fox News, so forth, whatever, and that's what it took. And
well, with
know,
Justina,
Fox News
Justina Pelletier,
here, whatever.
Justina Pelletier had mitochondrial disease, and she had been diagnosed by Tufts Medical Center. And she had had a bad episode when even this girl was very active. She played tennis. She was a cheerleader. She was doing quite well in spite of this disease. But she had a minor
yep.
setback, and they had called
yep.
Tufts, and Tufts said, Boston's Children is closer. Take her there. They did. They
yep.
immediately kidnapped her, said all of her problems were psychosomatic, meaning she imagined them,
yep.
and they withdrew all of her medications for mitochondrial disease. Started her on psychotropic drugs, and exactly as you said, Lisa, her dad refused to remain silent or obey this gag order and went public. Took them a year. When they get their daughter back, she's no longer able to walk. Now she's in a wheelchair for the rest of her life.
Right.
And
yep.
but this is what it took. He absolutely, it was just dared them, you know, come after me,
mm-hmm.
come after me. You've kidnapped my daughter. And this was the first taste the public got of this hospital guardianship medical kidnap thing. And
mm-hmm.
Justina Pelletier is fortunate she's still alive because many
right.
of these kids that get caught underneath this end up dead. They start experimenting on them. They medically kidnap them, and many of these children are either black or Hispanic,
mm-hmm.
and they'll have a rare genetic disorder. And so what they do
yeah.
is they medically kidnap them because the parents ask for a second opinion. I want to know when it became a life-threatening
mm-hmm.
situation for you to ask for a second opinion. But this is
mm-hmm.
what'll happen. And so it's
I
just...
Wanna know, I want to know from Representative Jim Lyons, why aren't you helping me out, Mr. Lyons? Because I'll tell you what, we're in your constituency there. And see, even though my father's 89 years old, he deserves...
Mm-hmm.
He deserves to be having a voice as well.
Yeah.
So,
there you go.
Frustrating.
And he had one before
be.
They started drugging him, didn't they? He had
a
voice before they started drugging him, didn't they? Didn't he?
Oh, are you kidding? Proof up the yin yang, okay? Court.
Yep.
I mean, the court transcript, even the damn court, the doctor, the initial doctor actually documented how my father, while having been put into a flipping psych ward, had above average IQ. All right? I mean,
yep.
Holy
it doesn't
cow.
Matter. None
I
of
mean,
it matters. When they target you, that's all there is to it. And the whole system, this whole harvesting machine, kicks into gear. You got these protection rackets running. You got these people who work as predators. I don't know how you exist like that. I just don't know what kind of frame of mind you have to be in to know that everything around you was provided by stealing it from someone else and making someone else's life a living hell, not to mention the downstream effect on the family. But apparently the pleasure is in the taking. I don't get it. I don't understand it.
Well, and I don't get why the media, okay, is completely ignoring this. I've been at this for how many years, Marty?
Oh, I know. Me too. Me too.
5 years. Okay, you know me. Look, everybody
yep.
knows I have a big mouth. All right. Who doesn't know
I
exist?
You for it.
Please. Okay. Someday I'll
yeah.
make some money, but. But seriously, this is really counterintuitive to me that I have evidence that a mountain's worth of evidence, and
right.
I can't get any investigative reporter other than Ronnie Brennan of the Boston
right.
Broadside and Terry LaPointe of medicalkidnap.com. Okay,
right.
They have been working their butts off for me. But still, the mainstream refuses to shine a light on this.
Yeah, I know, Lisa. We've got about 5 minutes left here. Robin, Luann, you want to kick something in here?
It's just that we keep saying the same things and seeing the same things, and there, you know, we still in our nation, we have this idea that we're it's that it's that you're safe. You're, you know, we have this idea that we're a nation of freedom and right and justice, and it keeps us passive enough to allow this to go on. We've got to realize that America has changed, and it's been, and it's being run by the thieves. And until we recognize and acknowledge that is the truth, then we'll continue to be victims, and it'll be widespread and more widespread.
Yeah,
we have
I agree, Robin.
And we have to see it first, and that's really what has to happen.
Right. It's not right. It's not right. It's unjust. And until people start stepping up and really working it, I'm not talking about hitting the like button on Facebook. I'm talking about really getting out and talking to legislators and trying to get news people involved and screaming every single day. I go around everybody. I talk to people in restaurants. I talk to people in grocery stores. I talk to people in dentist offices. And I ask them, do you have a will or a trust? And most of them say yes. And I'll say, you better do something about it. Even my own insurance man, I told him about it. And he was flabbergasted. That he says, well, my dad has a trust. I think he's okay. I said, he's not okay. Okay.
No.
First thing I'd give that trust as fast as you could. You know?
Yep.
But
what I
do,
man, what I do is carry around a printed off sheet that I hand out to people about, you know, beware of guardians and this and that and something else, and how to, you know, be wary of these people because they are not there to help you, and what can happen to you even if you've got estate planning and you think you're protected, you are not. The attorney, the law firm that sold that to you knows it is worthless if you get into probate. And I've had people say to me, oh, well, see, you don't go to probate, though, until you're dead. No, they drag live people in there all day long and declare them dead. And so don't ever think that this is going to save you. And you have basically given everybody, these people, all the information they need about what you have, where it's at, and what it's worth. And somebody's going to be coming for it. And that's
you know what the difference is, Marty?
What?
Yep.
Here's what's really going to be, okay? What do politicians care about most, right? They care about, their voting base, okay?
Yeah, money.
When the voting base decides to make a ruckus, then they're going to care. So that's what really needs to happen. And it can be done.
It can be done. But you have to, I've never seen people so apathetic. When I went to this meeting, first off, I was surprised at the number of people there, even more surprised that they were aware that this is going on, and that it just shocked that to hear people saying they were afraid of their doctors, they were afraid of being in the hospital for fear they'd never come home. When did we get to this, that aging in this country would be considered a threat? Your life is threatened. Why? When did we get to this? And where did all these damn predators come from? I want to know. Maybe they're all the vaccinated people. Hell, I don't know. Maybe got brain damage. We're down to the end of the show here. Lisa, I want to thank you for coming on, as always.
Thank you, Mom.
Luann and Robin, I appreciate you being here again tonight. Carly is on with us also. You got any last words, Luann and Robin? We got a minute. Yeah, go ahead, Mighty Mouse.
I just want to say I appreciate what you all are doing. I think this is exactly what people need to be doing, and I'm so glad to see that I'm not the only one fighting against injustice in this world.
There you go, Mighty. Get out some humor somewhere, okay?
Yeah, there
That's
you
right,
go.
Mighty. I appreciate what you're saying. He's a smart fellow, that Mighty Mouse.
Yes, he is. I got a minute to go here. Thanks, everybody, for being on. And this show has been off the rails all night. It started out rocky, and it hadn't quit.
Sorry,
we'll
that's my fault, Marty.
Not, is it? We'll be back tomorrow night. Carly Wobblin will be back with her show on hospice. Victims and survivors, and that show is absolutely blowing up. It has become so popular, and people are just coming out of the woodwork on this, and people who have the documentation to prove they saw the attempt or the actual murder of their relative, their mom, their dad, whomever it was, in hospice. Don't let them put you in hospice. Be sure and get your hospice revocation papers in order. Those will be available to you on Carly's site here shortly. And we've got a lot of things going on, a lot of resources coming up. But thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We'll be back tomorrow night, like I say, with Carly and Hospice Victims and Survivors. And then I'll be back Thursday night with Whistleblowers. And Carolyn Douglas will be on with me, and we'll be talking about the law again. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Marty.
Good night, Marty.